but he is still alive. I lift him as gently as I can, cradling him like a child in my arms. Henri helps me up, then reaches into his pocket, grabs another salt pebble, and plops it into his own mouth. It makes me wonder if he was talking about himself when he said there was little time. Both of us are unsteady. And then something catches my eye in Henri's thigh. A wound glowing navy blue through the gathering blood around it. He's also been stabbed by a soldier's knife. I wonder if the salt pebble is the only reason he's now standing, as it is for me. What about the shotgun? I ask.
I'm out of ammo.
We walk out of the clearing, taking our time. Bernie Kosar doesn't move in my arms, but I can feel that life hasn't left him. Not yet. We exit the woods, leaving behind us the overhanging branches and bushes and the smell of wet and rotting leaves.
Do you think you can run?
Henri asks. No, I say. But I'll run anyway. Up ahead of us, we hear a great commotion. Several grunts, followed by clanking of chains. And then we hear a roar. Not quite as sinister as the others, but loud enough so that we know it can only mean one thing. Another beast.
You're kidding me,
Henri says. Twigs snap behind us, coming from the woods. Henri and I both twist around, but the woods are too dense to see. I snap the light on in my left hand and sweep it through the trees to see. There must be 7 or 8 soldiers standing at the entrance of the woods, and when my light hits them, they all draw their swords, which come alive, glowing their various colors the second they do.
No! Henri yells. Don't use your legacies. It'll weaken you.
But it's too late. I snap the light off. Vertigo and weakness return, then the pain. I hold my breath and wait for the soldiers to come charging at us, but they don't. There follows no sound aside from the obvious struggle happening straight ahead of us. Then, an uproar of yells behind us. I turn to look. The glowing swords begin swaggering forward from 40 feet away. A confident laugh comes from one of the soldiers. 9 of them, armed and full of strength versus 3 of us, broken and battered, and armed with nothing more than our valor. The beast one way, the soldiers the other. That is the choice that we now face. Henri seems unfazed. He removes 2 more pebbles from his pocket and hands one to me.
The last 2,
he says, his voice shaky, as though it requires a great effort just to speak. I plop the new pebble into my mouth and bury it beneath my tongue, despite a small bit of the first still remaining. Renewed strength rushes through me.
What do you think?
He asks me. We are surrounded. Henri and Bernie Kosar and I are the only 3 left. 6 badly hurt and carried away by Sam. Mark just here but now nowhere to be found. And that leaves Sarah, who I pray is tucked away safely in the school that lies 1/10 of a mile ahead of us. I take a deep breath, and I accept the inevitable. I don't think it matters, Henri, I say and look at him. But the school is ahead of us, and that is where Sam will be shortly. What he does next catches me off guard. He smiles. He reaches his hand out and gives my shoulder a squeeze. His eyes are tired and red, but in them I see relief, a sense of serenity, as though he knows it's all about to end.
We've done all we could. And what's done is done. But I'm damn proud of you,
he says.
You did amazing today. I always knew you would. There was never a doubt in my mind.
I drop my head. I don't want him to see me cry. I squeeze the dog. For the first time since I grabbed him, he shows a slight sign of life. lifting his head just enough so that he can lick the side of my face. He passes one word to me, and one word only, as if that is all his strength will allow.
"Courage," he says.
I lift my head. Henri steps forward and hugs me. I close my eyes and bury my face in his neck. He is still shaking, his body frail and weak beneath my grip. I'm sure mine is no stronger. So this is it, I think. With our heads held high, we will walk across the field to whatever awaits there. At least, there is dignity in that.
"You did damn good," he says.
I open my eyes. From over his shoulder, I see the soldiers are near, 20 feet away now. They have stopped walking. One of them is holding a dagger that pulsates silver and gray. The soldier tosses it in the air, catches it, and hurls it at Henri's back. I lift my hand and deflect it away, and it misses by a foot. My strength leaves me almost immediately, even though the pebble is only half dissolved. Henri takes my free arm and drapes it over his shoulders and places his right arm around my waist. We stagger forward. The beast comes into view, looming just ahead in the center of the football field. The Mogadorians follow behind us. Perhaps they are curious to see the beast in action, to see the beast kill. Each step I take becomes more of an effort than the one that preceded it. My heart thuds in my chest. Death is forthcoming, and of that, I am terrified. But Henri is here, and so is Bernie Kosar. I'm happy not to have to face it alone. Several soldiers stand on the other side of the beast. Even if we could get past the beast, we would then have to walk straight into the soldiers, who stand with drawn swords. We have no choice. We reach the field, and I expect the beast to pounce at any moment. But nothing happens. When we are within 15 feet of it, we stop. We stand leaning against each other for support. The beast is half the size of the other, but still big enough to kill us all with no great effort of its own. Pale, almost translucent skin stretched over protruding ribs and knobby joints. Various pinkish scars down its arms and sides. White, sightless eyes. It shifts its weight and lowers itself, then swings its head low over the grass to smell what its eyes fail to see. It can sense us in front of it. It lets out a low groan. I feel none of the rage and malice that the other beasts radiated. No desire for blood and death. There is a sense of fear, a sense of sadness. I open myself to it. I see images of torture and starvation. I see the beast locked up for all its life here on Earth, a damp cave where little light reaches, shivering through the night to stay warm, always cold and wet. I see the way the Mogadorians pit the beasts against one another, force them to fight in order to train, to toughen them, and make them mean. Henri lets go of me. I can't hold Bernie Kosar any longer. I gently place him in the grass at my feet. I haven't felt him move in minutes, and I can't tell if he's still alive. I take one step forward and drop to my knees. The soldiers yell around us. I don't understand their language, but I can tell by their tones that they are impatient. One swings his sword, and a dagger just misses me. A flash of white that flutters and tears the front of my shirt. I stay on my knees, and I look up at the beast hovering over me. Some weapon is fired, but it sails over our heads. A warning shot, meant to move the beast to action. The beast quivers. A second dagger darts through the air and hits the beast below the elbow of its left arm. It lifts its head and roars in pain. I am sorry, I try to